You may have seen the headline in Post-Dispatch over the weekend, Sunday's paper, a number of non-believers is on the rise in Europe, U.S. We're going to be talking about the rise of unbelievers. We used to call them unbelievers. Some of them consider themselves none of the above, others atheists, some of them more vocal atheists. We'll talk about that here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. with Uwe Simonetto. He joins us here in Studio A. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Live this Monday, the 17th of September. You can join us for the next 3 hours of the program. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. At 3:30, an hour of open lines. Got a question for you. Did you watch the Emmy Awards last night? For that matter, do you watch television? And what do you watch? Everybody watches television. I mean, very few people don't watch any television, but most people report that they watch less than they really do. So what do you watch and why? I think it was The Sopranos, best dramatic series. No surprise there. In 30 Rock, best comedy series for the primetime Emmys. Do you watch either of those? It's the one thing among, well, one of the few things that we have a hard time pinning down when it comes to our listeners, and that is their entertainment tastes. We have not been able to figure this one out. So there, during open lines, I want to know what you watch on television and why. Also, if we have time, we'll get to a question about whether or not parents should counsel their children to marry late rather than early. Dr. Victor Raj joins us at 4:30. We're going to talk about some Hindu protests over a plan to create a shipping channel in India. Apparently, the Hindus in India believe that this was created by Rama, a great hero of the Hindu faith, and they don't want to see this channel destroy any of Rama's creations. We'll talk about that. Then, at 5 o'clock, Pastor Will Wheaton joins us to talk about 3rd-century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage. Some very interesting sayings come down to us from Cyprian, who endured not one but two persecutions. And then audio open lines for the last half hour of the program, an NPR story on the trial of polygamist Warren Jeffs, a Good Morning America interview with two girls who escaped from that kind of polygamy, and a Greta Van Susteren interview with Warren Jeffs' former attorney, coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727. Or 505-7850. Uwe Simonetto is our guest for the first half hour. He's an international journalist and director of the Concordia Seminary Institute on lay vocation. Uwe, welcome back.
Thanks.
The headline reads, number of non-believers is on rise in Europe, U.S. You just spent the summer in Europe. Did you see evidence of a growing atheism there?
No. I don't see it anywhere there any more than I see it over here, because it is a given. It has been known for a very long time that the number of genuine atheists has always remained about stable, at about 5%, sometimes up to 8% variance on that. And this woman here, Mary Jordan of the Washington Post, whose story was reprinted in St. Louis Post-Dispatch, doesn't give any statistics either. There are no polls out on this subject. This is all anecdotal stuff, and we can discuss this at great length. Obviously, atheists can become more vocal given the outrages of Islam, and so they then make sweeping statements about all religion. I think it's just opportunism, and it's rather disgusting. But I find it as shoddy as this particular piece of journalism.
So why do you think it makes the news, the alleged rise of atheism in Europe and the U.S.?
It makes the news because Richard Dawkins, the English philosopher, has made a lot of news with, I think, a very unscholarly work about the non-existence of God. It makes the news because it is chic to scandalize people by denying the existence of God, and that seems to be rather pervasive in certain journalistic circles. And I am a journalist, as you know, so, and I have been one for 50 years. I've never quite understood why journalists should shy away from asking the ultimate question about God, but that's that is their problem. It makes copy. It gives simple and cheap answers to troubling questions, religious questions like the violence of radical Islamism. And so how do you respond to it? You do away with all religions. I mean, you know, this is just... I don't think it is a very serious news story. I don't think it's a very serious development. It is something that has happened before, and it's shoddy.
What do you make of the attempt, not only on the part of some journalists, but certainly on the part of those more vocal atheists here in the U.S. and in Europe, to draw a moral equivalence between radical and violent Islam and Christianity?
Well, it is in all, if you draw a moral equivalent between these two religions, which quite clearly by their demeanor are totally opposite ends of the spectrum, you then make your own position, namely that of godlessness, the only viable alternative. Again, I think it's a shoddy reasoning. But that, for non-thinkers, take the guy who has an affair with some woman who isn't his. Take the homosexual who does something that, whose behavior does not correspond to the Christian message or to Scripture. Take anybody who take the somebody who's committing fraud. Anybody who is violating ethical standards will say, well, if somebody like Dawkins or this guy here in this story say there is no God, so why should I not just continue doing what I've been doing? Of course, you know, in the end, and as they continue their lives, they will find that that is not a very useful argument. They're lying to themselves. But they are appealing to this particular audience here, and they're making money. I mean, Dawkins is making money. Christopher Hitchens, the Anglo-American writer, a brilliant writer and a very amusing writer, suddenly also discovers his own atheism, and is making money with it, and the media pick it up and run with it. But in the final analysis, I think this is less troubling than the rise of a religion, a genuine alternative to Christianity, or seemingly genuine alternative to Christianity, which is Islam.
Well, that's the one statistic that does get cited middle of the story here in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, this Washington Post story, where it says the fastest-growing religion, Islam, in Europe, now has as many as 20 million followers on the continent. When you travel in Europe, do you see the growing population of Muslims there?
Yes, you see it. It's
what's
visible.
The overall impact? What's the effect?
The overall impact is considerable. First of all, you see them physically. You see these veiled women. You travel by train through Germany or France, and you see the ever-growing number of mosques side by side with churches, and the mosques are full and the churches are not. That is one impact. You have on the extreme side an impact. Here I'll tell you something that I've just heard while in France this summer, where Muslim radicals in the suburbs of Paris so intimidate the cops that there are regions of France where the cops will no longer dare to set foot. That applies to smaller towns like Angoulême, which is our a town very, very close to my house, or to Paris. And what they do is they let out the word, or they tell their threats, threatening telephone calls to the wives of gendarmes, saying, if you don't tell your husband to stay out of our neighborhood, we'll come into your house and sodomize you. This is something that I know and I know for certain because I've talked to people like that, it's something the media do not report scandalously. Of course, they regale in stories like this about non-believers, but they don't regale in genuine threats. Or this, I think I talked about this the last time I was on this program, Robert Redeker, a Franco-German philosopher, who wrote in Le Figaro that Jesus is the master or the lord of love and Muhammad is the lord of hate. And the guy then had to go underground, had to leave his house, could not attend, could not announce his own father's funeral for fear that the cortege might be photographed and he and his family would be annihilated. They had thousands of death threats. These things, this is the true development there. The flip side of it is that if Christians face up to this threat and don't give in to this sort of cheap anti-religious rhetoric here of people like Dawkins, then there is an opportunity to bring the gospel to Muslims. I mean, the our mission command to do mission there applies to the Muslims as much as anybody else.
We're talking with Uwe Simonetto about the headline that appeared in yesterday's St. Louis Post-Dispatch, number of non-believers on rise in Europe, U.S. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Monday, September the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. In about 15 minutes, open lines with your questions and your comments. I want your answer to this question. Did you watch the Emmy Awards last night? And do you watch television? What do you watch on television? And why do you watch what you watch? Your answer to that question in about 15 minutes here during open lines. Uwe, there was a story over the weekend about another cartoon that appeared. It actually has appeared in a number of European papers. This one, if I'm not mistaken, a Swedish paper,
right,
printed a cartoon or a drawing of Mohammed, or what is purported to be Mohammed's head on a dog's body.
Yeah.
Now, it was printed as part of a news story on the fact that newspapers aren't really printing these pictures.
Right.
And, of course, there were more threats of violence on the part of some Muslims over this.
Yes.
Are we just in a cycle where, in spite of good journalism's best efforts, there's no real way to deal with any even lighthearted or more serious critique of Islam in Europe at this point without the threat of violence from the radicals?
Well, we can't do this without risking the threat of from the radical Islamists. I mean, that you have to face up to. And I must say, although I don't find it particularly in good taste to ridicule other people's religions like that, it bespeaks the courage, journalistic courage, of people who actually take these guys to task and who risk being murdered by Muslims or kidnapped or anything. And that is the flip side of the story, which, of course, again, this Washington Post, St. Louis Post-Dispatch story doesn't dwell on, is that the intellectual leadership, even those who have been in the past rather critical or distant from Christianity, are now taking a very, very serious look at Islam and at the same time at Christianity. I mentioned Jürgen Habermas the other day, mm-hmm. who is an atheist, who said, and one of the leaders of the left-wing 1960s movement, one of the thinkers of that, who now says, well, we have to recognize and acknowledge that we owe our civilization to Christianity. That is the other side of the story. Everything is everything has so many different sides, and this linear journalism that I find nowadays does not address this and gives actually a totally false impression of what is going on in the world. We journalists, like this Mary Jordan here, don't seem to realize the magnitude of the struggle the West is involved in. Europe at the moment a little more than America, but it's not going to be far from America. It's going to be here as well. This is an upheaval of untold order. It's enormous. And and unless we face up to it and we see this magnitude, then we'll lose it. But there's also the opportunity, of course, to use this and really improve our civilization. But we have to acknowledge it.
We've talked several times before about Turkey's desire, a Muslim
right.
country, and increasingly being called an Islamist country.
Right.
Its desire to join the European Union,
right.
this would be a first in many ways.
Right.
Would it be advisable, and with the kind of reporting that we're getting out of Europe about, and with the change in climate in Europe, is it more likely to happen than not?
I don't quite see it yet. I don't see it because, first of all, the French president Sarkozy is against it. The German Chancellor Merkel is not very excited about it either. You have countries like Greece and Bulgaria, who are all members of the European Union, who might veto it. I don't see it just yet. There will be special arrangements, I'm quite sure, with Turkey. And there's a genuine desire of Turkey to westernize. That is also true. But I don't see it. I think it would be not in this particular phase, which is going to last several decades, where Europe is pretty fickle and feeble, where everything is in flux. If the Christian churches get grip of the situation again, and if the Christian majorities of those populations return to their faith, then it might be a different thing, because then you might have a genuine comparison between the two religions, and of course the Muslims will see that.
Why are Sarkozy and Merkel wary of Turkey's admission there?
Well, to begin with, because with this very tiny European part of Turkey, you'll get the huge Arab part of Turkey too, or Arab, or, you know, Middle Eastern part of Turkey, which is strictly Muslim. And once you are a member state of the European Union, you'll open the floodgates, and tens of millions, scores of millions of Muslims will migrate west for work, for the comforts of the West, etc. And these are people who are not sophisticates like the people living in Istanbul, but these are people who are very much living in a different era, living in the medieval era, and they will bring this to Western Europe, and Western Europe couldn't cope with it, not at this stage.
I mean, I'm thinking about the immigration a crisis that we face here in the United States.
Yeah, but there are Christians coming here.
Yeah, we're talking here about a compounded, and it's not just an economic or a social question. It's a question of, as you stated many times before, at least the Christian legacy or heritage of European culture, too.
Correct. And you have, I mean, look, you take your Hispanics. A, they're Christians. B, they speak a comparable language. They speak a learnable language, which is Spanish. So, I mean, you might, your pigmentation of your average American might change somewhat, and their faces might look a little different two generations from now, but you're not going to have such fundamentally different mentalities as you will when the Muslims take over. And then, you know, we've had this history of three major attempts of Islam to take over Western Europe. And the French, of course, are very aware of this because it's there where it happened the first time, mm-hmm. you know, in 732 at the Loire.
Before we let you go, you've got a pretty big event coming up on the campus of Concordia Seminary here. German Days, tell us about it.
Yes. For 2 days... we will be looking at the state of faith in Germany. This is the first of 10 such conferences in the next 10 years leading up to the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And we'll have five presenters from Germany, two bishops, very, very top-notch expert on Islam, very fine expert on the workplace as a mission as a mission field, with respondents from this from the seminary here and from the Missouri Synod altogether. We have a wine festival with Missouri wines going along with this, and we will top it all with this fantastic Bach at the Sem performance of the cantata, Bach's cantata 70, Wachet, 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 Betet, Betet, Wachet, Wake and Pray, Pray and Wake, which will then end, of course, which will be the first of this year's season, the new season, and the Bach at the Sem concerts, and of course will be integrated into the German Days at the Sem.
German Days at the Sem is October the 12th and the 13th on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. You can find out more about it. It's being sponsored by Uwe Simonetto and the Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation. Free of charge. That's nice to know. 314-505-7009, 314-505-7009, or go to the website www.csl.edu and look for more information on German Days at the Sem. We're going to be broadcasting live from German Days as well, October the 12th and the 13th on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist and director of the Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation. Thanks for coming in again.
Thank you, Doug.
I should say that his tan still seems to be holding, although you had an alternate explanation for the tan. What was it again?
Yeah, it's the Nordic gene that transforms alcoholic blushes into a decent solid tan. Very few of us have it, but yes.
So now we know the source of your pigmentation.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. You'd expect someone to turn out purple, maybe, from the grape, but...
Well, you see, that's another thing. If you had studied Goethe's color schemes, you will see how purple can suddenly turn into brown.
Thank you very much for being our guest.
Bye, thanks.
Uwe Simonetto. Well, when we come back from this break, I got a question for you, and I want your answer to this question. In fact, more than one question. Did you watch the Emmy Awards last night? They're all the rage, of course. There were a few notable events at the Emmys that we don't need to go into, some profanity and some other kind of things that were edited out or censored out. What I'm concerned about is I've never been able to put my finger on this element of our listening audience, and that is their entertainment tastes. When we talk movies, when we talk pop culture, when we talk television, it's hard for me to pin down where our listeners really are. So I want to know, what do you watch on television? And why do you watch what you watch? The big winners last night were The Sopranos on HBO for Best Dramatic Series and 30 Rock for Best Comedy Series, primetime Emmy winners. Are either of those among your listening choices? We just switched our dish provider, and what we ended up getting along with this new package and a lower price was one of these DVR gizmos that can record television all over the place and tells you what you're watching and keeps track of what you're watching. It's interesting to look at the list of things that Wilkin watches in the short time I've been playing with this thing. So, what are you watching and why? I want your answer to that question during Audio Open Lines after this.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
How can a woman uniquely serve Christ's church? Have you ever considered the vocation of deaconess? Well, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is hosting a fall invitational visit for prospective deaconess students. The event is September the 19th through the 22nd on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Call 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
How can a young boy immersed in violence escape the clutches of racism to emerge as a great leader? Find out in the next Focus on the Family when Dr. James Dobson speaks with pastor and former NFL player Dr. Ken Hutcherson. Hear a powerful story of a changed life next time on Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
A state outlaws partial birth abortions.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Louisiana has become the first state to outlaw partial birth abortions since the Supreme Court upheld a federal ban on the procedure in April of this year. Under the Louisiana law, doctors who perform partial birth abortions could be sentenced to 10 years in prison for each offense. The law does not apply to the women who have such abortions and includes an exception if the mother's life is in danger. The Louisiana law allows state officials to prosecute offenders instead of waiting for federal prosecutors to do so. The bill was signed into law by Democratic Governor Kathleen Blanco.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, where values thrive, and online at thrivent.com.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. When I was in grade school, we had a series of workbooks called Think and Do. I don't remember what the workbooks were about, but the title stuck with me, Think and Do, a good reminder as you plunge into the new work week. Before you plunge into your workday doings, think. God is real, and he will not renege on his promises to you. Jesus once told a rich young man to sell all that he had and follow him. About that, Oswald Chambers wrote, "Jesus did not go after him, he let him go. Our Lord knows perfectly that when once his word is heard, it will bear fruit sooner or later." So think. Remembering God's promises will bear fruit in your life, as long as you trust them when you do whatever it is you do. Visiting a church in Torgau, Germany, I was impressed by a Latin inscription near the pulpit. No worshiper can see this inscription, only the preacher sees it, and that only when he leaves the pulpit. It's from Isaiah 30:15. In silence and hope will be your strength. That is to say, preacher, think about it. If you have properly spoken the promises of God, be still now and let God work on the people through his promises. God is real. Think about that, and then go about your daily doings.
This presentation of the Meyer Minute on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Thrivent Financial, online at thrivent.com. We do more than work. We work with a purpose.
Well, that's the theme for 30 Rock. That was one of the big winners last night at the Emmy Awards. I didn't start watching this show until about 2 months ago when there was, I can't remember what night it's on. I think it's on Thursday nights because I'd come home and I'd say, there's nothing on television worth watching. And finally, I found 30 Rock. I actually found it because I was watching The Office, which I think also got some Emmys, but it didn't walk away with the big one last night. It got us to thinking, what do you watch, our listeners, and why on television? Now, I'm not talking about, well, I guess that's a legitimate answer. If I were to ask Jeff what he watches, he's going to tell me things like, what, Golden Girls, reruns of Ally McBeal, things like that, and some sports. You know, when someone says, and often you run across very pietistic Christians who will do this, I don't watch any television. I'll say, do you have a television in the house? Yeah, but I don't watch it. If it's a man, just ask him, do you watch sports? Well, yeah, but that doesn't count. Yeah, it does. In fact, it counts a lot of hours if you add up the average football game, baseball game, basketball game, Some people even, for some reason, watch soccer. I don't know why, but they do. Or hockey. So what do you watch and why? Did you watch the Emmys last night? I've had a hard time pinning down our listeners. I can pretty much call it on our listeners. You think in terms of an average listener on a lot of things, politics and religion and their viewpoints on this and that. But on their entertainment choices, I am in the dark. I know what I watch and why. We just got one of those things that record television without tapes. It's not TiVo, but it's a DVR recorder is what they call it. So now I know what I watch. It reminds me what I watch. What do you watch and why? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's audio open lines, and we're coming to you live this Monday, September the 17th. And audio open lines is going to run here through 4:30. 4:30, Victor Raj is going to join us. We're going to talk about a very strange story out of India. All they want to do is cut a shipping channel, save some money, save some time, and the Hindu population is up in arms. Sacred ground. It's not really ground. It's a sandbar, but it's sacred ground as far as they're concerned. We'll talk about that coming up in about an hour here on Issues, etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Did anybody watch the Emmy Awards last night? I can't say I did, but that's because I work on Sunday nights. It was pretty highly rated. We got a piece here in just a moment I want to play for you on the kind of the recap of the Emmy Awards, say who the winners were and who walked away with their Emmys. I don't know what the little statue is, some sort of an angel holding a globe. But 30 Rock won for Best Comedy Series in Primetime, and of course, The Sopranos won for Best Dramatic Series in Primetime. Here's the story from ABC News on last night's Emmy Awards. Did you watch them? What do you watch? And why?
The Shrine Auditorium sported a new look for the 59th annual Primetime Emmy Awards set in the round. The evening hosted by American Idol's Ryan Seacrest was a big night for ABC. Terry O'Quinn won Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series for Lost.
Katherine Heigl, Grey's Anatomy.
Katherine Heigl's win for Best Supporting Actress in a Drama Series for Grey's Anatomy was totally unexpected.
My own mother told me I didn't have a shot in hell of winning tonight, so I really don't have anything prepared.
Sally Field won Best Actress in a Drama Series for Brothers and Sisters, while Best Actress in a Comedy went to America Ferrara, the homely but lovable fashion magazine assistant on ABC's Ugly Betty.
It is truly an amazing, wonderful thing that happens when your dreams come true.
Best Actor in a Drama went to James Spader of Boston Legal, beating out the favorite James Gandolfini of The Sopranos.
I feel like I just stole a pile of money from the mob.
And they're all sitting right over there.
Broadway's Jersey Boys paid tribute to those other Jersey Boys from The Sopranos, nominated for 15 Emmys. The HBO mob saga that ended its six-year run in June came away with the final Emmy of the night. Best Drama. Taina Hernandez, ABC News.
You know, I'm looking at the shows that walked away with Best Lead Actress or Lead Actor, and they don't say best anymore. They say outstanding. That's interesting commentary in and of itself. It's not best actor. It's outstanding. Because you wouldn't want to say best. That would imply that someone else wasn't best. But among all the best, there was the outstanding. Extras have not heard about it ever. And it's not like I don't watch television. Brothers and Sisters, I didn't even know Sally Field was still acting, to tell you the truth. Although she did make a bit of a splash with some of her comments that they had to bleep. Ugly Betty, have heard of that one, but don't watch it. And Boston Legal, definitely heard of that one, but can't say I've watched it. More than about 3 minutes into the show and then switched to something else. So where do your TV preferences lie? I find it hard to believe with the average American consuming about 3 or 4 hours a day, at least, of television, that our listeners wouldn't be watching television. So I'm curious, what is it that you're watching and why? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, or issue ZTC@KFUO.org. I've always noticed that when people say they don't watch, generally speaking, they do if you ask them about particular shows. Some people will say, well, I don't watch a lot of television. What they mean is they don't want to watch a lot of current television. They watch a lot of reruns. If you've got kids in the house, it's usually on. Jeff, is that the way it is in your house? I always say it's like a nightlight. It's one of those things you turn on and you just don't turn off the television.
The only time that's an issue in our house is bedtime. My wife grew up with this, you go to bed with the TV on. Drives me crazy. Turn the TV off. It's time to go to sleep. But somehow it became like a nightlight.
Yeah, we've got that at the Wilkin house too. Television on with the volume turned almost all the way down. That's another question for open lines when we're dealing with the whole issue of women and men and their differences. Let's go to the phones and see what Catherine in Fenton has to say. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. What are you watching and why?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm 35. I have three kids. We do not have cable by choice because we'd probably sit in front of it all the time. But so my kids watch PBS Kids, and that's really pretty much it. We don't turn on the TV in the evening unless they're watching some of their videos like Scooby-Doo and things like that.
So the TV is off during prime time
yes.
at Catherine's house
yes.
in Fenton.
Yes, unless there's some rerun of Price is Right, you know, some special game show that's on. You know, we don't usually watch even like, you know, Biggest Loser or that Power of 10. We don't even watch that. But once 9 or 9:30 rolls around, I like to watch sitcom reruns. I used to watch Friends, and we were big Seinfeld watchers for a while. I used to really love the Drew Carey Show. What else is on? Oh, Everybody Loves Raymond is about my favorite.
Okay, so you're going to add to the list things like King of Queens and all the things.
Right, King of Queens, yeah.
Okay.
But they just redid some, and I'm not watching the new ones like Two and a Half Men and Family Guy and stuff. We used to watch The Simpsons back before our kids got old enough to want to watch it, too. And no.
Okay, so this is like a parenting thing for you guys. You keep the television off, by and large, until the kiddos are in bed.
Yeah.
And then you're watching the stuff that you used to watch when you watched television.
Yeah, except that I don't really get into the new shows because I think they're... Well, I don't want an hour-long drama. I don't have that kind of time to just sit in front of the TV.
All right, Catherine, thank you very much. You know what I find? I don't have the emotional energy to do hour-long dramas. I just don't have it. There's enough drama in the Wilkin house, having two kids that are teenagers, without getting into... Although, I must say, when the Sopranos season, as seldom as they did roll around, every Sunday night after the national show, I was home watching the Sopranos. So... LaVon is calling from Iowa. Hi, LaVon. LaVon, welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, what are you watching and why?
Well, we watch all of the CIA or CSI shows. They're kind of morbid, but there's usually a good storyline.
Well, you got to have a favorite. Which of the 12 or 13 versions of CSI is your favorite? Everybody's got a favorite.
I like Miami.
Okay, everybody. Yeah, okay. So you like the guy with the dark glasses that wears a black suit when it's 90 degrees outside?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I watch a lot of the shows on HGTV and TLC where they go in and take somebody's house as a complete mess.
Yeah.
And they clean it all out and redo it. I like those shows.
What any sitcoms in prime time or dramas in prime time besides the CSI stuff?
There's one called The Closer.
Kira Sedgwick, yes.
Yeah.
I only know it because I think she's a beautiful woman. That's it. But other than that, I have no idea what the show is about.
It always is suspenseful, and you really never know till the end who it's going to be.
LaVon, thank you very much. Okay, now I'm getting a picture. A profile is emerging here, although so far only from the girls. Yes?
Do you watch CSI Miami?
You know, the only time I ever see CSI Miami is I watch The Soup, and they make fun of it just about every Friday night. So that's my only exposure to CSI Miami.
I simply will not watch it.
Why not?
Because who's the redheaded star in that?
She's talking about Horatio, the guy with the black suit and
the commercials with him and his hair blowing and his black suit. I mean, I can't watch it just because of that alone.
Calm down. Calm down. You're getting worked up in there. All right, I want to hear from you. What are you watching and why? Last night was the Emmys. Sopranos walked away with the drama. And 30 Rock, which I hadn't watched at all until recently, and it actually is hilarious. And I don't even like most of the actors in it, so go figure. Walked away with Best Primetime Comedy. Here's Andy calling from Kirkwood. Hi, Andy.
I didn't even know the Emmys were on last night. I don't see much television. I do occasionally watch The Tonight Show, but then I switch back and forth between that and Letterman to see if anything funny is on the other channel.
So that's kind of the post-primetime slot there. Are you watching anything in prime time?
No, I really don't. If they have a repeat of one of the PBS, you know, like Masterpiece Theaters on late at night, sometimes I watch that.
And now, why is that? Why are you a Leno Letterman television watcher, but you pretty much stay away from everything else?
Well, I only watch shows two nights a week. It depends on when I'm home. I'm not home much.
All right, Andy, thank you very much.
When I am home, I generally will watch a videotape or disc of a movie that I've not seen in the theaters.
All right, thank you. Well, a lot of people are doing that. They're substituting watching rented movies for or pay-per-view or whatever for regular television watching. Lael's up next, calling from her car. Hi, Lael.
Hi, Pastor. I'm with Jeff. I can't stand Miami.
CSI Miami?
CSI. No, I can't stand that guy.
What about
turned a certain way, you know?
What about the Vegas version of CSI?
I like that one. I like CSI, and I like the Navy with Mark Harmon. I like that one a lot. I like Mark Harmon and those characters in that group.
Yeah, I know a lot of ladies like Mark Harmon.
Yeah.
What else are you watching and why?
I like House. I'm in the medical background, so I like all that investigative type, you know, putting clues together and figuring things out. I like laboratory stuff. And
any comedy? Although House is kind of funny.
I don't really care for the comedies we have right now.
Lael, thank you very much. There's a girl right after Jeff's own heart. He's in there nodding his head. Those are the shows that he likes to watch. He really likes House for some reason. I can't say I've really watched any more than just a few minutes of it. I think the guy who plays House is a brilliant actor. He's compelling on screen. You can't look away, but obviously I can look away long enough to switch the channel. Bill's calling from his car. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I don't have cable, so I don't have much of a choice, but there's only really one show I enjoy watching, and it's Cops. Partly because I get vicarious pleasure out of it, I'll confess to that. And it's not staged. In contrast, that one cop show with the one detective gal, she's got frizzy hair and she looks like she walked out of a concentration camp. She's so skinny. I can't stand that show because the scripts are so orchestrated and they're so pat, and the conversation among the three or four detectives or whatever. People don't talk like that in real life, so it's. They're too good-looking, too. I mean, there's no ugly fat people that are the heroes.
Well, that's true. So do you generally gravitate toward Cops because am I right when I say it's real life and it's unscripted?
It's real life and it's unscripted, and there's one other show I do enjoy watching. I do enjoy watching The Simpsons, and I enjoy the Family Guy, but I will say this. I've had to turn Family Guy off because they get it into episodes where they bring Jesus into it, and they're downright blasphemous. It's a shame because the slapstick is it's funny. But, you know, you have to draw a line somewhere, but that's about what I got. And I do watch Channel 51 Day Star just to see what the latest heresy is.
Oh, so. Religious programming. I hadn't even thought about that. There isn't a category for that. In the Emmys for religious programming. What are you watching in prime time and why? That's the question I've asked because the Emmys last night were on. I was surprised at how few of the shows that won Emmys or were nominated for Emmys I was aware of. And I'm not saying that as someone who doesn't watch a lot of television, I think I watch a lot of television. Although, you want to know where my tastes lie, Jeff. You're going to laugh at me. You probably will. Cooking shows. Let's see. Anything with Alton Brown. And if you don't know who Alton Brown is, too bad for you. Let's see. I loved, I absolutely, religiously, almost fanatically loved the old, you ever see the old Iron Chef? Jeff? Do you know what I even know what I'm talking about?
I'm still laughing for you saying you watch cooking shows. I'm sorry.
I ask my wife. It's all I do.
You know what this show I despise, my wife watches? Mm-hmm. Take Home Chef.
Oh, the good-looking chef.
Yeah,
who invades.
He always picks out good-looking women at the market, too.
Strangely enough.
And he takes them home.
Good-looking women who have perfect palatial homes. And he walks in and cooks dinner for their husbands and then somehow expects the husband to understand when he walks in and sees his wife with this good-looking Swedish or Nordic or whatever he is chef who's just spent the afternoon with his wife.
If I come home from a hard day of work and take home chefs in my house, the gloves are coming off.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that. I asked you about Iron Chef. Have you ever even... The original Iron Chef.
No, sir. I'm sorry.
Best show ever. Hands down, beats everything, no matter the category, the genre, the era. Best show ever. It's not on television except at like 3 o'clock in the morning once a week, which is a good reason for having TiVo. Kathy's calling from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, yeah. The shows that our family watches would be, and we have family members that range from, let's see, an age from 10 to in their mid-40s. So, let's see, we watch a lot of shows on HGTV. We like the House Hunters, and we like some of the Fix It Up, Flip This House, some of the shows on some of the cooking shows, but not too many. And then we'll watch some of the travel things. We like Discovery. We love Dirty Jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good show. And we like the Survivor guy and that other guy, that English guy. You know, they drop them off in the wilderness, and then they have to try to find their way out. And so those are we don't watch anything on network TV. We watch no network TV.
And why is that? Just uninterested?
Just don't find it interesting, find it very offensive, find it, you know. We like, you know, some of the older things, like, you know, we like, we used to watch Raymond's, but we watched them all probably two or three times, so we're done with Raymond. But he was funny, and we liked the Tim the Fix-It guy. We like Andy Griffith. We like...
Andy Griffith.
Yeah, we like, some of the Masterpiece Theaters, some of the older ones, you know, with the Agatha Christie and those. So those would be what we mainly watch. And my husband watched sports.
Sports, yes. That's a category in and of itself. Thank you, Kathy. Jeff, I'm going to let you go ahead. I can see you're chomping at the bit. You want to say something about Survivor Man, don't you? Because Kathy mentioned Survivor Man. Go ahead.
Well, as our listeners are well aware, I had all four children for 10 days, ages 9, 7, 4, and 9 months. Friday night, dad's at home, dad's tired. 3 hours of Survivor Man. 3 hours of Survivor Man. I thought it was just like one episode. It was 8 to 11. I fell asleep. The kids were still up.
And they liked watching Survivor Man.
They loved it. And
what's your
tell you what kind of father I am?
Well, what's your critique of Survivor Man as a television viewer? Because that's, after all, what we're asking our listeners to do here.
Well, first of all, I thought he like had a camera crew, like, so they're probably, you know, handing him candy bars or pop or something when he's hungry. He goes out on his own. He brings his own cameras, so he really is surviving on his own. And so it's just him out in Antarctic or the Amazon jungle or what have you. It's kind of redundant, though, after a while. I mean, because you always have to have water, short of water. Mm-hmm. Got to have fire, keep the animals away, have some heat.
Food doesn't hurt. Yeah. Although, this guy will eat.
Got to have shelter.
This guy will eat anything.
Yeah.
Is that the appeal with the boy, your son?
Well, I think they're waiting for him to get eaten by a bear, You know, they're waiting for that one episode where, you know,
the bear shows up.
Yeah, I think all of us are like, you know, waiting for that one episode where something, a leopard chased him in the Amazon jungle Friday night.
Hey, that's all right. You were awake for that part. Well, what about the rest of you? Last night was the Emmys, and they give these awards out every year. It's Hollywood's opportunity to pat itself on the back and tell itself that it's doing a good job. And we watch, wondering what all the hoopla is about shows we've never really heard about. And yet everybody's watching television, unless you don't have one, and you haven't been in an airport lately, you're watching television. You know, some people are news junkies. I haven't heard anybody mention the 24 hours of cable news that you can find on about a dozen channels. But some people are the real junkies for CNN or for Fox News. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Liddell in Maryland Heights. Hi, Liddell. Thanks for waiting. Liddell? All right, we'll see if we can get her back. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. And our call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Nicholas in Lebanon, Missouri says, I only have an antenna, so I got four channels to choose from. I tell my kids about this, by the way, that this is how life used to be. Three or four channels to choose from, and they can't believe it. The TV my wife and I choose to watch is Earl. Hilarious. Can't get enough of Randy and Joy. The best show on television would have to be The Office. It is very funny. Smart, dry, love it. Can't really stand to watch all of the dramatic hospital and cop shows. There's enough real drama and nastiness on the news at 10 p.m. Nicholas, thank you very much for the email. Issuesetc@kfuo.org. Just a simple question here on this Monday. Nothing heavy, just what are you watching and why? Since TV takes up a considerable amount of our time. And now family time has become TV time in many families. The Wilkin family included, I should say. Sally's calling from her car. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. I guess I'm a person that we don't watch a lot of television because, one, we don't have cable. I'm in the, you know, the Luddite years, even though I'm in the city. I just don't want to pay for that. Plus, I know we'd watch it more. My husband would watch 24/7. But I like to watch the, like, 48 Hours Mystery program because I like the whodunit part, but it's real, and it's totally unrelated to my life, you know. The other thing is my dog, she likes Ugly Betty, which when I first watched it, I thought it was really good, but then it started getting a little risque and a little too much sexual things. But it was a cute program.
Is somebody chiming in behind you there? Oh, Sally's gone. Mary's calling from Illinois. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Pastor, I am amazed to hear that you are an HBO junkie and especially The Sopranos.
Actually,
I have to tell you.
Actually, I'm
what
not.
What do you do, look away during certain scenes?
Well, I'm not an HBO junkie. Most of what's on HBO kind of bores me, to tell you the truth.
Uh-huh.
But I got hooked on The Sopranos in the very first season.
Me too.
And yes, there are times that you have to put your hands over your own eyes.
Yes.
And the show would be about 30% shorter if they took the F word out of it.
Uh-huh.
But it was
fascinating.
It was fascinating, and I couldn't get my wife convinced. Thank you very much, Mary. I could not get my wife convinced that this. She just was always afraid someone was going to get shot, which was pretty much the whole reason I was watching it. I kind of liked living with the constant fear and tension that The Sopranos created. It was good to see it win last night. More open lines after this.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.